For NPR Music, you're connected to All Songs Considered. I'm Bob Boylan. It's Global Fest 2017, and that means we're about to hear some music you've never heard before. The music in the background is by Septeto Santiaguero, and they were one of the dozen bands at Global Fest 2017. I'm in the studios with Banning Air of Afropop Worldwide, Rob Weisberg of WFMU's Trans-Pacific Sound Paradise, and Anastasia Tsulkis of NPR Music. It was a great festival. Over the course of the week, we'll put up many, many of the sets from Global Fest. Let's listen to some more of this Cuban band, and we'll begin our conversation with Banning Air. Banning, set the scene. What are we seeing besides
incredibly sharp-dressed human beings?
Yes, absolutely. And moving. Everybody is moving. The front, the gentleman singing and playing the güiro, that percussion instrument that's like a gourd with rivets in it, and it makes this wooden scraping sound. And he's just moving with it, dancing with it, and everybody's moving. They're such a polished act. So Septeto Santiaguero is a septet from Santiago, which is at the eastern side of Cuba, the birthplace of son music, which is really sort of the essence of what they're playing here. And what you hear in this band is a band that just plays all the time. They are so polished, so powerful, just this absolute machine, incredibly complex, mixing the horns, the percussion, the vocals, everything is happening in this beautifully orchestrated way, and they just make it seem effortless, and it's delightful and amazing. Really great to see.
So they won a Latin Grammy a couple of years ago.
That's right, 2015.
Yeah, for Best Traditional Tropical Album. And it's interesting, they've kind of been, to my mind, in a slow burn in the U.S. So that was a couple of years ago in the Latin Grammys, which don't get nearly as much attention as the mainstream Grammys. They made their debut this past summer, and here they are at Global Fest. And they came up, I understand, really just to do this show at Global Fest. It's not part of a big, large tour. And the timing feels so strange because sort of we're at the precipice of a new administration in the United States.
Really?
And you know, there may be another big change in U.S.-Cuban relations and a big change for visas. And right, that's right, and Fidel Castro is gone now. And so what is this going to mean heading into 2017 and beyond for artists like that who are really sort of, I guess, totally in limbo and waiting to see where the waves of destiny are going to take them next.
It's true.
On the big stage, we continued a little later in the night with another big band.
Well, I was excited about this. I have to say, for me, my entree into music from around the world, I fell in love with African guitar music and really the influence of Latin music, how that affected music in Africa, particularly in Congo and this great Congolese tradition, and one of the great orchestras associated with the singer Tabule back in the golden age of
Tabule Rochereau, yes.
Mm-hmm, 60s, 70s, 80s.
Yep.
Coming back on the scene for this Global Fest, Afrisa. And
the relationship between Tabule and Afrisa, because Tabule
was the band leader, right?
He was the band leader. He was a star singer when
singer,
he was very young. The history on this is that Tabule, when things got really rough in the Congo in the 80s, he came and lived in the U.S. He lived in New Jersey and L.A. for quite a while and operated the band Afrisa out of those places. Then, when there was a change in the government, he went back and became the Minister of Culture in Congo. But a lot of those musicians stayed behind, some in Virginia, some in New Jersey, some in L.A., some in Seattle. And now they've sort of reformed, and they've made a new record, which is wonderful. And this is one of the first appearances that they've done in this new form.
Let's hear a little of it.
Thank you.
lindo y en paz y baño colillo. Y acá, bienvenida, ya dice guayo y a mozema.
So this music is very related to the son music that Septeto Santiaguero plays, because son music was one of the first world music circulated on LPs and played by radio stations, and it really caused a sensation in the Congo in the 40s and 50s, and it was the model for what became this music. And Afrisa really is a band of the late 60s and 70s, so they kind of are preserving an earlier point in that history. But the difference between them has partly to do with the difference between what's happened to those two countries. The fact of these musicians being driven into exile and so much chaos in the Congo, and then being sort of left behind as all these newer styles and innovations have come, means that for them to come together and play a show like this is very unusual. And you hear a difference between that and a band like the Septeto, who that is playing all the time. And so it didn't feel quite as congealed and sort of just perfect. But it was really, as Rob was saying, it was historic, and it was just, I also love this music so much. So when you hear the guitars played that way and those vocal harmonies and the whole ambiance of that music is very, very special. It was sweet to see.
And it changed so much with depending on who was singing and fronting the band. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
those big bands are always like that, a lot of singers. You know, Franco's band, who was the other big band leader of that era, he'd have like 10 different singers, so lots of change during the show.
The music we've played so far is what someone would typically say is global world music. You just hear it in the rhythms and the guitars. But so much happens at Global Fest, it's so very different from that. And there was an Estonian violinist with some electronics that was up on one of the medium-sized stages, the Moreland stage, and her name, Anastasia, is?
Her name's Maria Nut, and she's a violinist who is, to my mind, really interested in making really atmospheric, evocative music. So I've seen her maybe two or three times now, and she does these super atmospheric, moody, very texture-oriented things with an acoustic violin, but also with looping, and it's all about mood, and I can see it as being a brilliant soundscape for a film, you know, really great score music. But she did something very different this time. She brought in a producer named Hendrik Haljujärv, who brought a very different energy, and it sort of made the music, I wouldn't say propulsive, it's still not dance music, but it sort of gave it some motion underneath, which was really beautiful.
Well, it was pretty rhythmic, actually, and we talked to her a bit afterwards, and she said, I love rhythm. It's interesting, as a traditional fiddler, you know, there are all these great, coming from Baltic, Estonia, Eastern European fiddle traditions and Scandinavian fiddle traditions. But when you see her play, and you're hearing a lot of melody on this particular piece, her melody is very cyclical and
yes,
rhythmic as well. And a lot of her songs, she won't actually play melodically, legato at all. She'll pluck. There are songs which we heard at Global Fest, which were a cappella looped. And with her partner now, she's actually pushing that rhythmic side even more. You think of sort of...
Sorry, what do you mean by a cappella?
Oh, voice only. Or right. Voice, mainly voice.
But she wasn't...
Her voice was sampled
and
layered.
Yeah.
And you would think of composers like Steve Reich and Philip Glass,
sure,
as sort of a basis, as much as you think of the traditional sources. But she uses very traditional sources, too. This is actually a game song
that she
turned into her own.
Let's hear this in the clear for a second.
Yeah.
Yeah, she. It's the game song. It's the horse game song, which involves casting spells or trying to keep away evil spells. And you can hear that sort of darkness. And this is, as with her partner now, collaborator, a more layered sound even than she was able to do before. It's very, very beautiful.
The funny thing to me about Global Fest this year is that a lot of it was sort of dance music oriented and pulse oriented, right? Which, you know, it's 2017, that's the way of the world. You were talking, Rob, about like Steve Reich and Philip Glass, and that's where I spend a lot of my time and headspaces and the musics. And in those kinds, and especially like in Reich, it's like pulse, pulse, pulse. Pulse is the thing. Mm. Drumming is the thing. That's the thing. And here it's sort of, she spins these much bigger circles of chordal ideas, of sort of phrase ideas in much, much bigger ways, to my mind.
And part of that, I think, is the technology and just the way the technology drives music and those loop pedals and so forth.
Yeah, yeah.
You get the texture that can repeat, and one person can do that. And I don't think somebody scoring a piece would necessarily think of that. I think that's how and why music has changed the way it has. It's the technology has driven it, and you think of composing in ways you wouldn't if you were writing on paper.
Yeah. It feels less, to me, it feels less linear and more stacked, I guess, you know.
She also puts storytelling into her performance, too, which we saw a bit of. And in fact, this song she introduced by telling the little story of the game. And she's trying to create a new personal kind of performance with her violin and her voice.
And I think those stories really helped in that music, which could feel a sort of cold and distant, having her come on and tell these very these narratives.
Invites you in, yes.
Yeah, it really does. The other storytellers of the evening were the Korean band Sing Sing,
oh,
right?
Yeah.
which, if we can just do a little descriptive of...
I think that's needed, yes.
Yeah. it was, I think, three of four of the people up on stage, I'm guessing, were men dressed as women.
With brightly colored,
well, actually, what it, yeah.
colored wigs.
So it's three. The front line of three singers, two male, one
yeah,
woman.
That's right. The back
and then the back, and then three in back is kind of a band, which was interesting in itself. Yeah.
It was kind of like kabuki in that odd way. They all wore black, the folks who were, yes, right. But the music they were doing, which we'll play in a moment, were... Korean folk songs, in essence, right?
Yeah, they were doing, it's called Minyo, sort of regional folk style, and you hear the singer singing in this, I don't know, how would you say, nasal? It's a very particular kind of folk singing style. Reminds me of some Japanese styles, too, like Kawachi Ondo. And also a little bit of, I guess, shamanistic tradition is because the singer, actually, who leads this group, studied with a pansori singer, which is a traditional operatic Korean form. So he's actually studying in this very serious way. But then they present it, basically rock and roll, disco, 80s,
right, it could
glam.
Have been glam rock, right.
Yeah. They're wearing, okay, yes, and cross-dressing the males, guys, but for an interesting, his rationale actually is kind of interesting. His name is Himu Lee, is the leader. And in traditional Korean art, the male shaman needs to also invoke the female gender.
Sort of, they need to be gender neutral.
Yeah,
so they
so
need
he's...
To...
So it's kind of glam rock meets shamanism meets 80s rock.
Yeah.
But incredible singing. The woman in orange, what a voice.
Yeah.
Amazing voice.
They all had great voices. And they were wearing, did you notice they were wearing, they always wear different wigs in their shows, but for this show they wore red, white, and blue.
Oh, I missed that completely.
I missed that.
That's a beautiful catch. I'm going to play a little bit of this Sing Sing song. It's a Minyo medley.
Hey, 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 hey,
In addition to their presentation, they're also very theatrical in their movement. And this song, this is the second song of their set. The two, the accompanying two singers to the lead singer who had the blue wig came on, and the second male singer was doing this incredible kind of pantomimey laugh, right. Stop, deadpan.
Serious. So it's a very smiley thing, and oh, it's like good, bad.
To this happy reggae beat and probably pretty intense lyrics, it was quite. Quite remarkable, really,
yeah,
great stuff.
Act. That was good fun.
This is a very interesting moment in Korean music, and actually, I think the Korean government has been putting some money into sending artists out into the world, and they're actually one of a couple other groups that came around the time of Global Fest and this big conference that goes on at the same time that are working traditional music with rock and roll and other styles in different ways. There was also another great group I saw at a different showcase called Black String, who did much more of kind of a prog rock meets folk with electric guitar and traditional Geomungo zither.
So it's not
really
all just
amazing.
Gundam style.
No, it's really an amazing. No, absolutely. It's actually, that's very true. And I think, you know, I think folks want to get this out here a bit. And
yeah.
I've really been seeing some interesting stuff.
It seems to be working.
Yeah, it seems to be happening.
There was a bunch of well made up performers, and hair was certainly a thing last evening.
it was a subcurrent of the entire evening's hairstyles.
Yeah.
Well, one of the ones that really struck me musically was Jojo Abbott. Ghanaian, yes.
It's a bot, actually. Jojo Abbott.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. She's part of this sort of hyphenated world we live in now because she's lived a lot in the U.S., but she grew up in Ghana. And you know, popular music in Africa is really changing now. There's this whole new wave of music that gets generally lumped under this term Afrobeats with an S. And it's very pop. It's very electronic. It has very little to do with the kind of rootsy stuff like Afrika or many of the other African bands that we've talked about over the years. It's much more international pop, R&B.
This could have been Grace Jones. I mean,
but the thing about her is that she's not doing that either. She's really doing her own thing. I mean, it's a little bit like what you were saying about Sing Sing, because it's not following the mold of the tried and true successful formula, whether it's the old high life formula or the sort of hip life, which is hip hop and high life, or this new Afrobeats thing. She's cutting her own road, and you could just tell by her whole attitude that she's very determined to be her own person, and that's very impressive.
Well, let me ask you, in the general picture of global music, we always hear and feel the tradition, but do you think it's happening more? Do you think people are getting further and further from the tradition and doing their own thing? Do you think that both technology, the way people hear more music and all of that?
I think it ebbs and flows. In terms of African music, the arrival of hip-hop really took everybody very far away from that traditional approach. And it differs country by country. But there are a lot more examples now, I find, of people going back and wanting to put more tradition in. But it's hard to generalize about it. That there, it's like two trends that are always there. The trend to be modern and be part of the new coming world, and the trend to look back and revive tradition.
Well,
and
would you say that a younger audience would favor one over the other? For example, in Sing Sing's case, I would think that the folk tales that they sing, which are traditional folk tales, would not be loved by a 70-year-old, but they are loved, in fact, by a younger generation.
I don't know. It's hard to generalize.
I think so, too. It's very easy, and this is sort of one of the enduring conversations, I think, in global music, in as much as there is a global music community, of you parceling out what people have the hereditary right or responsibility to maintain versus their right and responsibility to be part of this larger common lingo, whether it's using technology or bringing in sort of the shared DNA of hip hop, you know?
Or even just the aesthetic impulse to do that.
Well, you know what's interesting? What occurs to me, and because I think, like I said, a group like Afrisa, that Congolese style mid-century, really, is it's not actually traditional music, but it's a very distinct.
It's a
geographical,
genre. It's a
demographic
style,
very particular to that part of the world, as is the type of Afro-Cuban music that the Septeto played.
Yes.
And the question some of us worry about, some of us old-timers, is that somehow, is the music moving, becoming less distinctive and more Western, directly, you know, linked to Western music, you know?
Yeah, it's an ongoing debate and conversation in all
organic,
these settings.
Yeah, can new indigenous, in other words, can new indigenous pop music continue to evolve that has its own statement coming from its own place?
Or, you know, sometimes it also feels, and not to take us too far afield, but we've already gone that way.
Easily done.
But you look at, like, an artist whom I adore, Stromae, who is this Belgian musician of African heritage, and you sort of hear, like, he's done a song. He sneaks in references to older styles and older other artists, and it almost feels to me like this grand inside joke that, like, you have to be sort of buried way deep in it to get the joke. Like, he has a song that is about the Cape Verdean artist Cesaria Evora. And unless you know her music, you're totally missing it. It's just a great song, but it sounds like her style. It references her in the lyrics. And he does the same thing with highlife guitar and things like that. And it's so subterranean that it feels like this special secret that you have with him.
I wonder what jokes you weren't quite getting from Sing Sing, too.
I'm sure there are super, super layers of that.
We saw a few years ago, I think, at Global Fest, Bologi, who's another artist, who takes the old and puts it into his thing.
Yeah.
That's an interesting angle on it, too. And that's happening in different artists who are doing that.
Yeah, and the debate is, do they do it to the point where the amount of tradition in there is so subtle and so faint that it's just getting lost? But I do think that, you know, because we live in this era where everything is recorded and findable on YouTube, there's always the possibility of a trend in the future where people will come back more. You know, I mean, when you talk about African music, especially that whole period of the mid-century when all these countries were gaining independence, there was this tremendous impulse to sort of reclaim African identity. Mm-hmm. So it was incredibly exciting to take traditional music and turn it into pop, modern music, dance music. That became sort of old hat, and the new generation just doesn't find that so exciting. Or if they do it, they have to do it in a totally new way, like Bologi.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to play some of the JoJo.
Or JoJo, Bob, yeah. Yes.
So we have Toli coming up.
That's right. We were talking about JoJo.
When you tell me you never moved to town, but I see you to town. Have you seen that dude? When you tell me you never go to town, but I see you to town.
Is sort of reggae the connector of every single place? It just seems electronic, it's in rock, it's in it's crept into music we've played here today. It always just feels so comfortable wherever you are.
Well, it's a common language for a lot of musicians in a lot of places in the world. You know, it's interesting too, because even there are so many angles to traditional versus contemporary. A country, we heard a band, also at Global Fest, kind of rock and roll, almost arena rock style totally, in their presentation, called Hoba Hoba Spirit from Morocco. And Morocco's actually a country where there's a very lively, lots of different artists mixing different aspects of traditional music, the African-influenced Nawa music. They brought some of that into their style, people mixing Berber traditions into their music, and from rock to hip-hop. They were more on the electric side and less oriented to traditional music.
They're very underground. They're not traditional musicians at all. In fact, I was talking to Reda, the singer, afterwards, and he was telling me that, as he has before, so there's two kinds of music in Morocco: propaganda and anesthesia. He's a very funny guy. And they consider themselves underground in rebellion against all that.
Well, it's a good look for them, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a teeny tiny bit self-promoting, no?
Sure. Well, hey, it's pop music.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's take a short break. We're talking about Global Fest 2017 with Banning Air, Rob Weisberg, and Anastasia Tsoukas. We'll be back in just a moment.
Support for this NPR podcast and the following message come from Blue Apron. Blue Apron partners with sustainable farms, fisheries, and ranchers to bring you all the ingredients you need to create incredible home-cooked meals. Ingredients come paired with an easy-to-follow recipe card delivered to your door weekly in a refrigerated box. Rediscover how fun cooking can be while enjoying specialty ingredients and exploring new flavors and cuisines. Get your first three Blue Apron meals free, plus free shipping, by visiting blueapron.com/songs.
I'm Bob Boylan. We're talking Global Fest 2017, the music festival that just happened in New York City. 12 amazing bands. We go now to Anastasia Tsoukas, who's going to talk about Alsara and the Nubatones.
Yeah, so the singer Alsara, she's been featured now on Global Fest a couple of times. Once she did sort of a pan North African project called the Nile Project with musicians from all over,
sort of exploring the music. Tiny desk too.
And I brought her to a tiny desk, lo these many weeks ago. And I really like her a ton. She calls her music a Sudanese Nubian retropop, which, sure, you know, that sounds just about right.
Better than world music.
Anything is better than world music. But I really love the way that she has this incredibly effortless cool in terms of her stage presentation and sort of personal look. But the sound...
Your daughter was obsessed by her hair. Can I say that?
I'm obsessed with her. No, my daughter is seriously... Bob leaned over to me mid-set and said, you should watch the shears around your house for the next few days.
Yeah. And it's that look totally of right. The closely shaved around and closely then piled up high.
Yeah, and then right now she has this beautiful sort of tree branches shaved into the back of her head. It's good look. Anyway, she's trying to layer folk music from Nubia and Sudan, which has this really interesting history sort of as the crossroads of Arab North Africa and Sub-Saharan East African.
With an oud sitting as the underpinning instrument, yeah?
Yeah, there's an oud and she's singing in Arabic. And, you know, the things I've, you know, when we posted the Tiny Desk, people said, oh, this is Arab music. And it's like, well, yes, Sudan is part of that world in a way and very much linguistically, you know, speaks Arabic. But it also has all of this Nubian influence and culture that's sort of in the soil and the roots of everything there. So what Alsara does with this music is she takes folk music and new compositions, and even one of the songs she did last night was a gift of a tune she said had been given to her by two young girls in a Sudanese refugee camp. So she really layers references to ancient history, to modern, and sort of the very often very tragic history of modern Sudan.
And geography, the Nile. She loves the Nile.
She is obsessed with, and in a good way, with the geography of her native land. And yet she's now from Brooklyn and is very much of Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. And so it's a really nice commingling of ideas.
Let's play something she introduced as Sick and Tired with Love.
Thank you.
And so that was Al Sahra and the Nubatones. Ayan Baban was the name of the tune. And she was one of the younger musicians on the Global Fest roster this year. And Global Fest traditionally has been a place to launch talent, and very often is the place where artists have their American debuts. And this year, and I don't know if it was just the vagaries of time or circumstance, but this year there was actually only one group that was brand new to the United States, and it was an artist from Venezuela named Betsaida Machado and her band La Parranda El Clavo. Man, they've been making music together for 30 years, I think, in their little tiny town on the coast of Venezuela. Wow. And now they're just starting to tour. And they were so clearly delighted to be here and delighted to be making this debut. And in certain ways, you know, you can tell they've been making music together forever. You know, in some ways, it's not a stage show in quite the same way as like Septeto de Santiago,
but there's the same settled, deep.
They, yeah. These guys have roots running, you know, a mile deep, yeah. And that was really moving. And they're great musicians. And she has a great voice, but also a couple of backing vocalists are just tremendously talented. And so let's take a listen to this tune by Betsaida Machado and her band. It's called Mayoral, which means slave trader. Betsaida Machado y La Parranda del Clavo, and they're from Venezuela, okay? So we hear them singing in Spanish, but man, that's pretty African sounding.
This is Afro-Venezuelan music.
This is absolutely Afro-Venezuelan music, and they come from a very, very, very small town of something like 1,500 people, and their community has managed to hold on to their African culture, their African roots. So you hear all these amazing polyrhythms and sort of the call and responsiveness of this, and you hear that throughout the Caribbean and throughout Latin America, but you feel it particularly strongly here, I think.
There are often these hidden African communities in South American countries with similar histories in Peru, and Peru is special, but there is now an Afro-Peruvian genre that's recognized similarly in Colombia. In Venezuela, it's definitely not the mainstream music by a long shot, but the mere fact that they're singing a song called Slave Trader means they know what happened. They remember how it happened.
Well, you know what? Yeah, for sure.
She comes, she was born in a pretty isolated village, and so what she's recreating with this group is this sort of traditional African percussive music that everybody would play and sing in her village, and this is the bass group of the village. But she's actually had a career in Caracas over the last couple of decades. So this is actually her kind of bringing it back. So she's like a star of Afro-Venezuelan music to a certain degree separately, but this is the first time she's actually brought this most seminal music of her life, really, where she came from, out onto the world stage.
Well, my understanding is that also, that's fascinating, and also most of the players in that band, and I'm not sure if all of them, but most of the players, that's a pretty big group, come from three families. So these are people with long, long ties to each other and to their heritage. And it was pretty great.
You could feel that, and the audience really went for it. People were loving that.
For sure.
There was a sense of a bit of performance art in a handful of the pieces. We go to the last show in the smallest stage with an artist, Batida. And I didn't know all that was going on with
him. There was a lot going on.
There was a lot going on there. He had these masks of people who I didn't know. He's Angolan. Yeah.
But in Lisbon. He's been filtered through the Lisbon experience.
But he's certainly talking about the politics of home would be right.
Angola, and you know, there's a lot of things that I think are unfortunately opaque to the huge majority of people who hear him in the States. I think I've heard him, I've seen him play live 3 times, maybe 4, in Europe and in New York. And I think a lot of what he's very clearly trying to do with his live show, which is a very different experience than what he does on record.
There's slides and movies and dancers.
Yeah. So
a
there's
lot
like
of times historical footage, news footage from Angola and that sort of thing.
Absolutely. And so he wants to immerse you in this experience and this very clearly political expressions of what has happened in Angola over the last 40 plus years. Mixed with this hugely entertaining electronic dance music.
Yeah, I mean, he's basically a kind of a DJ club ethos kind of guy. This sort of this music called Kuduro, which is this just pumping, you know, dance floor,
rhythm.
high up-tempo dance beat music.
Super street music.
With dancing, yes.
You know, kind of thinking of the two maybe most performance artsy people who were on Global Fest this year, Marionette in the beginning, who samples herself. He samples other artists. He actually will sort of, it's almost like he's playing the record, and then sort of it morphs into the song. And he doesn't have a full band.
He'll rap over it.
He raps over, he talks. You have the video kind of playing the images, you know, related to the song. Sometimes, even video itself, you have a performer performing on the video to the band. And then meanwhile, he has his dancers and his backup singer, his dancer backup singer, male and female, often will be sort of acting out to the video to a certain degree.
And he'll often be holding this electronic controller that is playing both melody and beat. And it's almost like he's holding a kalimba and they're dancing to it. But these incredibly intense and brash and almost always harsh, I assume intentionally harsh sounds that are coming out of those speakers.
Some of his stage patter is a little harsh, too.
it's a funny thing about...
He was not brooking any nonsense from the audience.
His music's... A lot of it is quite subtle, and it's not loud. And then he wanted to talk. He wanted to say things. So he's shuffling through paper saying, are there instructions here somewhere for how to make people stop talking?
he had his notes. He was sort of working on it. He's a character.
He is a character.
And in the end, the only way he got people to stop talking was put whistles in their mouths, right? He passed around to the entire crowd. I'm going to start playing this piece of music if we play it just a little quietly
They're revoking the whistle. People would whistle at Carnival in Angola.
Exactly.
Actually, the last song he was making a point, because he was doing a lot of stuff talking about, you know, Angola politically, sociopolitically, underappreciated, the troubles, what people don't know about it. And he made a point about saying, you know, the Carnival in Brazil that everybody so loves, it actually came from Angola.
He had
the whistles, had everybody whistle, and you saw people whistling on the video, and the dancers holding up umbrellas like they were in a carnival.
It was a nice
It was a great finale, actually. It was pretty festive.
Those whistles are all the people in the crowd, yeah.
It was much louder than that if you were there.
I put my earplugs in at that point. It was harsh. It was good. It was a good way to go out. Thank you all.
All right.
Global Fest. We'll put many of these sets up online over the next few weeks. We'll put the songs that you heard today on the show up online for you to hear, and links to some of the records that these people have done.
Yeah.
I thought it was a great festival this year. There were lots of threads and things that I loved. And always, I go to this, and if you've never been, come one year. It's a way to learn, for me, you guys know an awful lot more about this music than I ever will, but it's a way for me to learn about new music, open my ears a bit, and which is perfect at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, and it's a great way to get kind of a sneak peek at what is going to be coming down the touring pipeline and the festival lineup for the next couple of years. You want to know what you're going to be seeing in the summer of 2019? Come next January.
That's right.
Banning Air of Afropop Worldwide
Rob Weisberg from Trans-Pacific Sound Paradise at WFMU and Anastasia Tsoukas of NPR Music. All year long, these are three great people to follow and find new music from all over the world. Over the course of the weeks, we'll put up many of the sets from Global Fest. I'm Bob Boylan for NPR Music. It's All Songs Considered.
That's a proper ending. Thank you. Again, Caterina, Gonzalo, Philippe, Bruno, and Denise, everyone love. Thank you. Keep in touch. Thank you. Thank everyone as if it was a great success, regardless of the reaction. Okay.